Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support. Welcome everyone to another D-Dub special of Corbin going to the toilet while he's podcasting. That's horrible control.
That's not what's happening.
Yeah, normally Corbin shits directly into the mic.
He puts his foot in his mouth and he shits on the mic, all because he went to D-Dub.
Record, that's you reminded me about that. I always want to say, I talked to a judge about that stupid, whatever that dumbass card is, Blood Scrivener. I talked to a judge about that before I brought it on the podcast, and I was not the only one confused.
Yeah, but okay. He's like a level one judge in Oklahoma, which is like a rules advisor anywhere else.
I mean, that's actually true, I guess, because that's what happened. Because we were both wrong.
I like how you try to qualify yourself right there.
Yeah, like, oh, just don't worry, I talked to a professional, but, you know, a professional in Oklahoma. So
all I'm saying is if a level one judge was confused by it, I don't feel bad about being confused by it.
You should.
Here's what happened. That level one judge biased you. So when you went into it, because when I read the same thing on Gather you read, I'm like, oh, this mentions divination. This is clearly what happens when you draw two cards. But you were going into it thinking, all right, like, to Blood Scrivener, let's do this. So you were definitely prejudiced by what that guy told you. So you weren't in any state of mind to read that Gatherer thing correctly. When I read it, it was very clear to me what was going on. So let's not blame Gatherer either. Let's blame the fact that someone told you something and you saw something that seemed to confirm it and your brain went, yep, I guess that's a thing.
All right. So the people that don't know, this is because Corbin on the last one, he said that Blood Scrivener basically creates an infinite loop where you draw three cards.
That's not really infinite. That's finite.
Well, I mean, but in essence, the way for the way that he's talking about it to work, in essence, it would be an infinite loop.
Well, right. So like the rule is, there's an arbitrary rule that says replacement effects cannot be applied more than once. So like, I just got confused. I thought it triggered and then applied once, and so did the judge, and the Gatherer warden confused us, and something, something, I'm dumb. It happens.
Something, something, Corbin's dumb. That'll be on our next t-shirt.
Yep.
Well, we're going to move on from bad math and Corbin, because, you know, we all want to tell Corbin to shut up. And someone was able to say shut up Corbin on the last one, and it was rightfully.
I deserved it last week.
So
Corbin deserved. Go ahead.
And if anyone can, if they can make a bumper music for a Shut Up Corbin, please, please send that in. We will play that every time.
Who's our guy? Steve Wolf?
Steve Wolf, yes.
Steve Holt!
What were you gonna say, Jason?
I was trying to smoothly segue into talking about how we are announcing the winners of our Photoshop contest. The best entries we got in both categories was a picture of Corbin photoshopped onto Hero's Downfall with the Minotaur stomping on his chest, and a video of Corbin having his leg swept by Chun-Li of the Cobra Kai Dojo. So we have the winners of the contest. We will be contacting you, and we'll be getting you a prize when we figure out what that prize is going to be.
So that's Alex Ray and Patrick Edward for the video and the Hero's Downfall, respectively. So thank you guys. We appreciate the hard work. That was actually really cool. And shame on everyone else for not contributing to everything, you know. So we're just paying people with prizes if you contribute anything at this point, right?
That's true.
Like transcribing this here set review, so we can. This is something that people have asked for, and we think it's a good idea. So we're gonna try to do it. Is actually come back to our set review. Maybe a month, 2 months later, and look back at our picks and see how we did. This is something like Limited Resources does, and people suggested it for us as well, and we think it's a really good idea. So we're going to need to, I guess, know how we did. So if anyone, as you're listening through this, just feels like jotting down how we grade each card, you'll surely get something free from us.
Don't tell people that.
Yeah, please don't.
It's like, I made a paper and I glued some macaroni on it in the shape of Corbin being told to shut up. Now send me a playmat.
I'd send him a playmat.
Macaroni.
Playmat. Deal. I'd buy a new playmat to send him.
I mean, macaroni shut up person.
A macaroni shut up person. That's awesome. Guess what I did this week? I played
A colon cleansing at the spa.
Actually, I did. It was quite, you know, I felt 10 pounds lighter.
Did you do that kelp tape where they feed you the kelp tape and then they pull it out the other end?
Is that a thing?
I don't know. Saw it on Archer. Probably not.
You had a birthday, Marcel. That's what you did.
Oh yeah, it was my birthday. It was awesome. It was cool. I did absolutely nothing. Oh, I played Hearthstone.
Yeah, you like that game?
It's actually not bad.
It's like Bad Magic though, right? But kind of.
So hold on. Hearthstone versus Soulforge is a big thing I'm hearing. I'm personally on the Soulforge train. Why are you back on Hearthstone? Like, the only thing I like about Hearthstone is the availability and I just think the games, you have way more opponents. I think there's probably more people playing Hearthstone, but I think it's also a more publicly open game. Like
it's
most people
be
just
Hearthstone, right? Like that's gotta be the pronunciation. It's gotta be Hearthstone. It's
right, sure. Hearthstone, what Hearthstone is. I mean, it doesn't really matter. That's besides the point.
It was actually my first time playing it ever. I've never played it before. I just got on the beta that they just opened up and I went through it and jammed and then built up some things and did a couple decks and played in the arena a little bit and
so
it's all
right. Right?
It's not, I actually enjoy it. It was fun. I went to sleep and woke up the next day, looked forward to actually playing it, and I spent a few hours playing it instead of playing Magic. And yeah. I had the beta. I had the closed beta and actually played Hearthstone instead of that, but.
That's how I felt the first couple of days. It kind of got old just because like, there's not kind of that competitive level to it, really, until you get like very high up. And in that case, you just have to grind a whole bunch of like packs and stuff to get more cards. But
I mean, not really though. You can just do the arena. I mean, if you're doing your quest, the only problem I have with it is there's no way to, get the cards you need without just playing a ton as far as the individual singles because you get nothing for them. And so there's no way to, I mean, even grinding it out doesn't work. Like you just can't get there. You have to pay for it. Like if you're going to grind out for a single card for the dust for it, I mean, you're talking probably 100 hours for one of the freaking mythics.
Right. Plus you don't even get to keep what you get in the arena.
Yeah, which is the big difference between this and like, that's why I'm on Soulforge. Everyone's complaining about how expensive it is, but actually on that note, if you are looking to get into Soulforge at all, this is the time to do it. They just put everything half off. If you buy event tickets, it costs 7 event tickets to draft. You get to keep all 30 cards you draft, includes multiple heroics and stuff. Usually, like, you're not just talking one rare per pack. Like, every pack can have a rare.
Right.
I mean, well, it's whatever. Really weird, and you quickly build a collection. Like, I don't regret getting into this at all.
Yeah, I'll just build my moto collection.
Marcel, was your story that you got into Hearthstone, or was that a precursor to the story?
Well, that was part of it. Hearthstone, I played it. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And then I went and sold all my standard Moto stuff, everything that's non-Theros, and invested it all into Legacy and Vintage cards. So I just think Magic's a much better game, and I would rather spend my time playing that instead of playing Hearthstone.
I mean, I agree. I'm getting into Soulforge because I feel that the players who get good at it will be able to go infinite. I think there will be, I don't know if there will be cash prizes right away, but I think it will get to that level because unlike Hearthstone, it's not meant for the casual player. Like, they're definitely going with a competitive crowd on this. And, I mean, it shows. Like, I think the game is very well suited to be a very good competitive game. I mean, I consistently play decks and consistently have the same result with those decks. I mean, even more so than, like, playing Magic. Like, I think the luck factor goes down a lot in this game, which is going to draw the competitive crowd.
I think
if people want to hear about Hearthstone as much as I want to hear about Hearthstone, we should probably stop talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. But yeah, so anyway, speaking of Magic, the reason we're trying to diverge away from the conversation this week is because Born of the Gods sucks.
Yes, it does. There's nothing good going on. So we're going to go through this, and sorry we don't have the enthusiasm that you want for this set.
I like what goddamn cynics we were. How long ago was Dragon's Maze? 6 months?
Yeah, I was trying to like this set so hard.
It's Dragon's Maze.
I actually don't hate the set. That's the thing, is I don't hate what they're trying to do.
As a financier, though, like, there's good uncommons, it'll be fun, it'll be better than drafting just Theros. It's a good set, but, like, there's nothing splashy. Everything splashy sucks.
Speaking of the uncommons, though, I had this thought the other day. With the set being so bad, like, Dragon's Maze, the uncommons we saw right away, like, Far and Away and stuff, became worth quite a bit right off the bat. I mean, do we have that same thing going to be happening here? I mean, how many people do you think are going to be playing at every pre-release they can? Knowing going into it, they're not necessarily looking for that many cards from the set.
You buy one box though, and you're going to have your set of Bioblights.
I mean, yeah, but is that even worth it? So like, I'm looking at it from
this
perspective.
You wouldn't buy one box.
I think you're going to have a lot of people who are going to look at the set and go, wow, I don't want any of these fucking rares except for Brimez and maybe one other rare that's $5 or something. I could buy a box for $100. Yeah, get my playset of that uncommon maybe, or I can go out and buy my $120 playset of Brimez and, you know, my X amount of the other set and spend $200 total, get all the commons, uncommons, everything I need and not have to, you know, go and piece together the rest of it. And with people doing that instead, that means that those uncommons will be worth more because less people are busting the sealed product.
Possible. I can see the argument for that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So people were asking if the Voice of Resurgence effect, which is something we kind of talked about after we kind of post-gamed how we got Voice of Resurgence so wrong. We kind of think the Voice of Resurgence effect is going to keep Brimez buoyed. Now, what about a card like Spirit of the Labyrinth?
What do you mean the Voice of Resurgence effect? Explain this to people.
Okay, so what we like to talk about is one of the reasons Voice of Resurgence is so expensive is because the cost of a redemption set on Moto is relatively flat. If it falls below like $100 on eBay, it stops becoming worth it, and then no one's redeeming the sets on Moto. And you're not getting cards into the market that way, which, you know, lowers your supply. So with a draft set being worth about, or a redemption set being worth about $100, the cards have to add up roughly to that. So it puts a lot of pressure on the price of Voice of Resurgence because the only other money mythic in the set is,
Blood Baron of Viscopa.
Blood Baron of Viscopa. So that's going to cause Voice of Resurgence to have a lot of pressure on its price because it's got to make up a lot of the slack for the set. So I think there's probably a lot of slack in Born of the Gods from what we've seen. Even at the, you know, ridiculous pre-release prices of like $30 to $35 for Brimez. It was like $30 for a while for the Planeswalker, and that's come down a little bit. There really aren't a ton of mythics in the set. You know, Mogus was like $6-$8, I think, right away. The black-blue one, Fennec, was, about $5-$6 too. I think that might be the only mythic that could go up. So this kind of looks like a sub-$100 set. So I think that could definitely put a lot of upward pressure on the price of Brimez. But do you guys think that could put a pressure on the price of the non-mythic good rares, specifically Spirit of the Labyrinth?
Would have to. The money's got to go somewhere.
And that's why, I mean, I think the uncommons too are going to become worth money just because people are expecting that Voice of Resurgence effect now, so they're looking towards the mythics, and that's where you can't be looking now because the Brimez is at $30. Like, even if it goes to 50 shortly, you're probably not going to find a buy list that hits much more over 35 if you're lucky, and that's just not good enough, and that's a major hope. I mean, you're hoping at that point that it has to see real amounts of play.
So we didn't see a lot of good uncommons worth money in Dragon's Maze, but another set that was kind of miserable for limited that we can look to was Avacyn Restored. And that had a lot of good mythics in the set that people wanted to bust. That was a real casual hit, but people didn't really like drafting it that much. And we saw a lot of upward pressure on the price of stuff like Blood Artist and Strangleroot Geist and stuff like that. So I think for some of the better uncommons here, I could see those being worth a couple bucks just to justify that $100 on the redemption set.
That's fair. Now let's jump into the rares. Covered that so everyone's aware of this situation. That's why we're overall just kind of poo-poo-y about Born of the Gods. But
yeah,
we're gonna sift through this. We're gonna go through everything. We're gonna be a little bit faster than our normal set review because there's not much to review. So you're gonna hear a lot of bulks and we're just gonna move on. So please don't get offended. If you have something that you disagree with, please, you know, go into our comments and write us and, you know, have a discussion there. Go to Gathering Magic and you'll find the comments there on the newest episode and, you know, fill it out and find out what's going on and what your opinions are and where you disagree with us. We like to hear that. But, let's jump into this. So we got Arbiter of the Ideal. This is a 6 casting cost, 4/5 Sphinx for flying inspired, and it reads bulk.
Yeah, I was thinking like, hey, this could be good with Derevi in EDH, but then Derevi got banned as a commander in French, and nobody plays French, but I still, even if it's played in Derevi, there are like better Sphinxes that aren't worth money, so this is probably bulk.
Next we got Anal Cornucopia.
Astral Cornucopia. You could have said asshole cornucopia is much funnier than anal cornucopia.
Yeah. I mean, I think I disagree with you guys on this one, so go ahead and state yours first.
Okay, so it's this triple X card, that you get a charge counter. For 3 mana, you get 1 charge counter. For 6 mana, you get 2 charge counters. Tap it to choose a color, add 1 mana, the color to your mana pool for each charge counter on it. So like, it's really awkward, like it's like Everflowing Chalice basically, except you get charge counters and you can tap it for colored mana basically. Anyways, it's $1.99 and I say it's gonna be that price forever.
I don't know about forever, like it's not as good as Chromatic Lantern. It's worse than Chromatic Lantern, on 3, and it's worse than Darksteel Ingot on 3. It's worse than,
everything on
Gilded
6.
Lotus on 6. And, like, if you have a ton of mana to pump into it, fine, but if you have a ton of mana, then you have a ton of mana. You don't need this.
It's worse than Dreams on Hedron on 6. It's worse than Everflowing Chalice on 6, arguably, but.
So people, the argument I've heard for this card was EDH players saying, well, people play Manalith. I'm like, well, you know, non-optimal decks will play Manalith, sure. Like, why wouldn't you just play Darksteel Ingot, which is indestructible? So, right. I don't see Dirtily EDH driving the price of this. I don't think it's gonna go up from $2 for a long time. Like, it took Chromatic Lantern a long time to go up from $2, and that's an auto-include in every EDH deck.
I would agree with you, except for the fact that, I don't think the card's gonna go up for $2 immediately. I think that you're gonna have a chance to get in on this card when it's 50 cents a dollar, because it's gonna go down that way. I mean, all of these effects have, even though people see that they go up over time. The difference is, I mean, look at any, like, something like Power Conduit that's been printed twice now. It's still like a 50 cent pick because it says the word charge counter on it. Everything that says the word charge counter on it can be proliferated. There's things that add charge counters. It's a very relevant factor that we haven't seen on this kind of artifact before, leaving me to believe that there will be enough decks that do want it. And I think that that alone will make it be worth something.
So buy it in 2 years when it's a bulk.
I think it's gonna do whatever the new Chromatic Lantern here, out of Return to Ravnica did. Where, like, it's gonna drop down, I mean, that was like a buck for quite a while. And
I think the Chromatic Lantern in Return to Ravnica is called Chromatic Lantern.
Is that the, wait, yeah. I thought
you were thinking Coalition Relic, you were thinking
Coalition. Whatever. Fine. I'm terrible with names, people know that. It doesn't
matter.
No, I
am too. At least you don't pause for a whole minute.
Yeah, I just don't care. Alright, anyway. So, back to it. The Chromatic Lantern from Return to Ravnica. Like, I just feel like that card, it sees more standard play, so it's not, like, that's factors into it. I think that's why it's 3 or 4 now. But I think that either way, it would have been 2, 3 by now. So I'm not saying buy in right now, but I think that the card definitely has upsides when it's going to drop down, which it will. Especially if people do decide they want to bust boxes, because all these extra ones that they're gonna open are just gonna go by the wayside, and like nobody really wants them because they're going after the 3 chase cards from the set.
What? No, Dirtles will want these. Trade with EDH Dirtles. It's not the people that come to FNM at your shop. If there's a night where like they only play casual in EDH and you don't go on that night, go on that night. These people will want Astral Cornucopia. It's not a total brick if you open this in a pack, if you can trade it out to those people.
All right, well, let's move on. We've talked enough about the cornucopia.
I'm excited about the next one.
Are you?
Yeah. I got this. Courser of Krufix. 1 colorless, 2 green enchantment creature. 2/4. Play with the top card of your library revealed. You may play it if it's a land card. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain a life. So it's like this was Glazing Great Heart meets Oracle of Moldaya.
It's the bad half of Oracle of Moldaya. It's not the good half of Oracle of Moldaya.
Right.
It's the half that doesn't accelerate your mana and gives your opponent information. Like, I think this card is really bad. I don't like it at $4 at all.
I don't think it's that bad. $4, yeah, I think it's a little high. I think it's a $2 or $3 card. But I've seen this on beta. Someone was playing this with, like, a Kiora deck. And it was interesting. So yeah. I definitely think it's going to see a use, but I don't think it's super powerful. It's going to be more of a fringe role player for the deck.
Yeah, I don't think it's some big card that's going to do anything standard. And $4 is probably too much. But it is sweet. It's probably going to find a home in some commander decks.
Yeah, it's not going to be bulk.
Dude, all of my commander decks are green, and I don't want this in any of them.
Really? Well, yeah. You're not fertile.
Well, you don't get this ability in standard any other which way, so, like, you got a Maze's End deck. You might be able to jam this into Maze's End.
It's true, because I used to laugh when people said, oh, Maze's End, Kiora will be good, Maze's End, herp, and I'm like, oh, God, a Maze's End deck got 90th. It day 2 the GP.
It was unreal. And it lost because he called his own things on enchantments. on a merciless eviction. He blew up his own enchantments as much as he blew up the creatures. Like, he did really good with that, Mazes End deck. So I wanted to see it win just because the meta is so boring.
You know what? 2/4, 2/4 is a pretty good stats for a 3-mana dude in a Mazes End deck, right?
Yeah, I could see it be $3. I think it was still $3.
Alright, whatever.
The best two uncommon removal spells in the set don't get this.
Sure. Alright, let's move on.
A ton, actually. Like, I think it has quite the potential. I don't think it's Boros Reckoner, but I certainly think it could be like an $8 to $10 card in the right deck. I mean, again, you gotta remember, we're talking about a set where, look at the rest of the set. Like, you've got 5 cards that are like this in the whole set. And those 5 cards are gonna go up in value.
That's fair to say.
I do think it's overrated though, so I don't see overrated cards retaining the value. I think there's an underrated card that we haven't seen yet.
See, I don't know that it's overrated at $4 though. I mean, what is something, it's a 3-drop in a format that is all about the 3-drops, and yes, it has some competition, but in green, I mean, what do you want to run over this?
Smiter, Boonsader.
I mean, yes, if you're going for like a super aggro green deck, but if you're running like a green ramp deck or anything like that, that's not necessarily where you want to be.
Do you know what I'm telling
it doesn't necessarily ramp, but it does help you consistently hit your land drops.
Yeah.
Especially if you have any way to shuffle.
Dude, post rotation, Prophet of Crucifix and Courser of Crucifix. Synergy.
I mean, certainly could be.
There's stuff going on.
Sarcastic.
Eater of Hope. Should I read this card or should we just say bulk and move on?
Bulk, move on.
Yeah, bulk.
It's 7 mana and it's not playable in EDH. That's all you need to know.
As a pre-release card.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you get this at the it's pretty good and limited, I guess. It's good and sealed. Right. I don't like it in draft.
Eidolon of Countless Battles.
Read that again. You broke up while you said that.
It's the Eidolon of Countless Battles. Uncoupled. 2 mana.
Wait, read that and start over.
Eidolon.
No, wait. Say, don't be pissed off when you say it.
It's Eidolon of motherfucking Countless Battles! Come on!
That's all we should include is just Jason saying that. Fuck the rest of it.
So guys, there's this card named Eidolon of Countless Battles. It's a 1 colorless, 2 white, 0/0. Bestow cost of 4. Eidolon of Countless Battles, an enchanted creature, each get +1/+1 for each creature you control, and +1/+1 for each aura you control. So it's kinda cool, right?
Yeah, I mean...
This is underrated at $3. I'm gonna go ahead and say that right now.
I really felt that way right at first. And then, I don't know, I really like the black card of this cycle. I just don't, I don't know. Like, it depends on, I guess it really just depends on the fate of mono white. Like, if mono white's good enough, this card's good, right? Like,
yeah, Brimaz and Heliod. If you got Heliod, yeah. Heliod pumps this up twice, right, for each of his tokens?
No, cause it's auras, not enchantments.
Oh.
But like, so the thing with this card is it's basically a, like a critical mass sort of card. So like, it's maybe not necessarily good right now, but once there are enough cards like it, it could be really good. So like, maybe not now, but maybe by rotation, the time the next set comes out, there's just enough enchantment creatures at that point. There's enough playable bestow cards.
We have to have cheap bestow. Like, that's the biggest thing we've been missing so far. I mean, they came to us like some common ones in this or uncommon or whatever those are. But I mean, that's a far cry from like what you need to be super competitive.
Well, like, and this thing's cool because it does get it for each creature you control as well. So like, you know, like there's a thing there. Like I said, we don't have all the pieces yet, but it's one of those cards that is very powerful if the pieces do get there. So
I think Turtles will like this card. I think this will be one of those casual driven cards. Like, nobody like Legion Loyalists and like, what's the other one? The 4/3 for 1, Vexing Devil.
Yeah.
Nobody in Standard really liked Vexing Devil. It saw a little fringe play, but like, that wasn't an $8 card because it's Standard. I think this could potentially go up from $3. I'm not saying buy it at $3. You could probably get like an $8 playset if you can manage that, or just trade for these. It'll probably go down, but it could go up, so.
I mean, I think if nothing else, once it does go down, you pick them up. Because like you said, those pieces could come, and if it goes down, because it's seasonal play, it's gonna be $1, you know, it's gonna be really
The card that is gonna look like Boonsader is the problem. Like, where everyone's just like, this card seems sweet. And, I mean, Boonsader obviously got a lot more hype than this card did, but then it's just gonna not make an appearance at the first. Like, you're gonna see mono white and it's not gonna be playing this card and you're just gonna be like, what, this card?
I don't think Standard will be a factor at all.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if that's your argument, I can definitely see that. It just...
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not...
Right, so let's move on to the next bolt card. Actually, probably not a bolt card. In fact, it may be... What?
No, sorry, but it's a Nekusar. Are you shitting me?
I know, that's Fate. What I went through in my mind. Yep. Fate Unraveler. 3 colorless of black, 3/4, whenever an opponent draws a card, he deals 1 damage to that player. No, you're right. I just looked at it, saw 99 cents, and was like, it's probably bulk, but no, this is like a Nekuzar thing.
So it's a dollar card, it's not gonna be more than that though?
But like, I don't know, Nekuzar cards have gone so crazy price-wise, maybe it's $4 right away.
If a Force Fruition is $8, like, a fucking Underworld Dreams as a 3/4 for 4 can't be a dollar.
Yeah. I mean, it potentially can out of the new set, I guess. I don't know. Ugh.
It's an Underworld Dreams. Like, Underworld Dreams is worth a lot of money.
Just, yeah. It's a cash. If nothing else, this is a pretty popular card, I think, to kind of go up over time. Like, really exciting for the next year, but it is a very good Nekuzar card.
I think this is going to be the card that you're happy about selling to a buy list for $1, $1.50 in the first couple of months, and it's just going to consistently sit at that price. Like, I think it can go up from a dollar, but it's not, like, I don't think it's going to be $5, $6.
Don't pay cash, right? This is priced at bulk rare. Like, a dollar is bulk rare for the presale, so trade it for another bulk rare. Look this prices up on Star City or whatever, like, hey, Fate Unraveler is 99 cents, and so is Fated Intervention, so will you swap these straight up, and then you just make a pile of these. I wouldn't pay cash, even right. at a dollar.
Yeah, this is definitely not going to see standard play.
So moving on, a card that may see standard play is Fated Conflagration. It costs 1 red, instant, deals 5 damage to target creature or planeswalker, and if it's your turn, scry 2. I don't know if the scry 2 part is even that relevant, but I mean, only time will tell, I guess, if the Lava Axe is where any deck wants to be, but...
It's a Lava Axe, it doesn't hit players. I don't like it.
I like it. You hit creatures, and you can hit planeswalkers and it scries. I think there's just a lot of value in this card. I think it's probably like a $2 card.
I have a random question. Is this dealing damage to planeswalkers thing like a new thing in the rules? Because the rules I thought were you had to deal damage to players and then redirect to planeswalkers, and like cards like Dreadbore or whatever were fine because they're targeting the planeswalker when it's a permanent. I've never seen is this the first damage to planeswalker cards we've had?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. It's just that there may be something else that says deal 1 damage to a target planeswalker or something like that. Like one of the Chandras or so. Oh no, because it would just be player, yeah, because you could redirect it. Yeah.
You know, this is the first time that you're actually targeting a...
I think they just felt like the card would be too powerful if it said deal 5 damage target creature or player. Like, that card's really good at 4 mana if it does that.
I didn't even know the rules allowed for you to do damage straight to planeswalkers. Interesting, that's cool.
It never precluded it necessarily, so they realized, like, hey, it's our game, we could do whatever we want, and they just templated it properly. Yeah. So this is part of a cycle with the other... There are 5 faded spells, 1 from each color.
The next one is Faded Infatuation, which is blue for put a token to the battlefield that's a copy of another creature you control. If it's your turn, scry 2. It's a dollar right now, and I don't think it'll go more.
No, it's bad.
This is our combo piece with that card when this comes into play populate that we never got.
Really? We didn't get Sign of Itugazi?
Yeah.
No, that's when you play it from your hand, Jason.
No, you had that one card that you could flashback.
We're talking about because like, yeah, Cackling Counterpart, we thought it was, if we got it, it was going to be a combo, and it kind of like went up on hype, and then we never got that card.
Yeah, there's a chance.
The worst Cackling Counterpart, right?
Yeah, this is the worst Cackling Counterpart, and that never did anything. It's harder to cast, and we don't have Thrag Tusk.
These are all triple mana color, which like makes them so hard to play. Like, does Mono Blue want this? No, they want to jam another creature.
I think this is bulk, actually. I think it'll go down to bulk.
Now, Faded Intervention it seems like maybe the only underpriced one. The white one's pretty good, too. Faded Intervention, 2 triple green, put 2 3/3 green Centaur enchantment tokens onto the battlefield. If it's your turn, scry 2. So this is kind of a throwback to that Time Spiral block of cards that you got a better effect if you played it main phase. You don't have to play this main phase. You just have to play it on your turn. I don't know. It's 5 mana for 6 power. It's okay, but like, there's so many better spells.
You got Advent of the Worm.
Different things, like, yeah, well, you got Advent of the Worm. Why would you play this?
If this is a thing, I think it's a thing strictly because there are a lot of effects in Green and White that flash stuff in. Like, turn 3, 4, and 5, you can play Flash Guys. So like, it does open up kind of, you know, that blue, green, do we have counters, do we have creatures?
Yeah, I'm in with Corbin on this one. I really like this card a lot. Like, 99 cents, I think this is a buy at a dollar, actually.
I think
at the very least, green-white is going to be such a popular thing and so many varieties right off the bat that going into the Pro Tour, there's going to be a number of players who are comfortable with the Dark-type because it's been a consistent thing over the past while, and they're going to try and jam it. And there's going to be at least Team SCG or CFB or somebody's going to be on one of these token decks. And that's just been the way it's been, and I think just that boost alone, like, is going to make this a $3-4 card. Like, plus, I think this is probably the gem in the set, like, as far as underpriced cards go.
Well, the thing is, the Pro Tour isn't for several more months, so that's...
Sure, but alright, before that, I guess Grand Prix, sorry. I was thinking last release, so...
Yeah, I couldn't see this being more than a 2 of in those decks. I mean...
And it's triple green, so if you wanted to play this with white, it's real harsh on your mana.
You have the temples and the shocks, it's not that hard on you.
Scrying 2 on a green card is much better than Scry 2 on a blue card also, if you ask.
Yeah.
Because it's Scry 2... You're drawing, like, virtually, it's the same amount of knowledge and card advantage as drawing one card, if you ask me. I would say Scry 2 is almost as good as draw one.
So we think it matters less,
but on a green card where you can't really draw that well, I don't know.
So you guys
think it's a
targeted a dollar? I think so too.
I'm definitely trading for them, swapping my other bulk rares for this.
Right. Sure. Right.
So you would spend cash, Ryan, but you guys would just trade.
Just trade them. You should be able to get plenty of them this weekend.
Okay. If I want more than 20 in one weekend. If you want more than 20 in one weekend, pay cash. I don't want more than 20 of these. I don't think there's any hurry.
That's fair. I think one, like, if we're just going to fly through this cycle, I think Faded Return is something that to note that will
don't
not
skip
be...
the white one.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was, sorry. I thought we were just kind of, yeah, I mean, I actually like the white one too, but I was going to say the black one for note is going to be a long-term thing. I don't think it's going to be worth anything right off the bat. You're going to be able to pick them up as bulk, but that's definitely something you're going to want to have in a year or two. It's just, these effects are usually worth something. Instant speed, like recursion.
Foil copies, EDH.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Anyway, onto the white one that could see actual competitive.
The white one's $1.50 because, you know, it's better than bulk, apparently. This is a route that hits planeswalkers, and you...
Jason, what's a route?
Route was a wrath from... What set was that? Like,
it's a very old set.
Yeah.
It had kicker. So you could pay a kicker to play it as an instant? Maybe it was Invasion.
Wait, Invasion, it must have been, yeah.
Yeah, because Get to Fire was that cycle. Yeah, you could play it as a sorcery for like four or five, just as a wrath. You could play as an instant for 7. The kicker was 2? Yeah. Yeah. So 7 mana is what you pay for a route. So this is an instant speed wrath that you can play on their turn. You scry 2 if you play it on yours, but if you play it on theirs, it's pretty good. So it's right on mana cost. I think it's got a place in EDH. Being able to hit their creatures and planeswalkers is super relevant. And, you know, the scry is just icing because you were like EDH decks were running route before. So this is a better route. I like this at $1.50.
I think this is going to be one of those cards that we'll see slight standard play. I think there will probably be some blue-white control at some point. Well, I'm not saying right away, but during the life of this card in standard, something will be running this as a 1 or 2. Probably 1 in the main, 1 in the board. Because like, it is a very powerful effect at instant speed. And, I mean, it's not very often you see instant speed wraths in general, and they usually tend to see some standard play. So the format is looking to slow down anyway after the block rotates. So I think this is definitely a key card to watch in the next 6 months.
Right. Plus, the foils are likely to be like $3 to $5, and I like the foils of this at $3 to $5 cash. Absolutely.
So Faded Return, this is a 4R and triple black for put target creature to the graveyard from the battlefield under your control. From a graveyard, so as any graveyard, it gains an indestructible. And if it's your turn, scry 2. And it's $1 right now, and like Ryan says, this is probably a good long term, but it's not gonna see standard play right now.
It'll see about as much standard play as Obsidat's Aid, which is 0.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this in Commander. Indestructible, instant speed recursion from any graveyard. Foil copies, I think, are probably the better buy.
So next card is Fellhide Spirit Binder.
Bulk. That's too much text, I'm not even gonna read it.
There's potential for this to be abused, but I think it's gonna hit bulk before it ever sees anything better than that.
So what this set did not give us was a good way to tap creatures without attacking with them. It's got a big enough butt that it can survive a little bit of combat, but it's mana intensive. When you're tapping it, you have to pay mana in addition to getting his effect.
The biggest issue
tokens is not a super red ability, but there's just no good way to tap him.
I mean, the biggest issue is the main way that you want to be tapping things is Springleaf Drum, and it's not good in aggressive decks, and I feel like this, like, the only home this could have is as, like, a pseudo-aggressive deck. I mean, there could be a mid-range variant, I guess, like, something, I don't know, it just, yeah, I can't see the card going anywhere soon, bulk.
Yeah. I'll like it in limited, because it's a hill giant.
Now, next one, here's actual bulk, Jason, 49 cents, not 99.
Oh,
Forge
Dargon?
Forge Stoker Dargon.
In the picture, he's clearly not stoking a forge. He's burning a person.
It's a Dargon. It's a 5/4 flying. It deals one damage.
Four toughness Dargon. He's not even a 5/5 Dargon. That's where that extra 50 cents went.
For two mana, you can deal one damage to a creature.
Why are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Bulk.
All right, it's bulk. Whatever. Move on. Sorry.
Next one's Gil.
Can a creature bulk. Not block a flyer? Because that's
bulk. Bulk.
No, there is something to say about Guild, though. This is one of the, from the Great Designer Search 2, right? This was one of the finalists. One of their big pitches, right, was this whole gold mechanic. Am I remembering that correctly?
Probably not.
You think we paid attention to that, you nerd?
My bad. Anyways, it's actually kind of cool mechanic. It's really interesting that there's only one here and it's called Guild. Like, it's kind of just a weird name. Like, it's not, you think it would be like King Midas flavored or something. Like, I wonder if this is a precursor to something else.
No, it's not, which is why they use just the verb guild.
I don't know. It's kind of like I say, it's just a very unique sort of just randomly throw in here.
I hope we get through this quickly.
I wanted to do a token for this, actually, for us. We have a treasure chest with Brainstorm Brewery on there with a bunch of gold.
I could see that if the card was good.
I know, it's not, I really want this to see play, it's probably not. It'll see a one of in standard, maybe.
Somebody said it would get playing Commander, and I said if it got playing Commander, I would eat my entire deck.
You'll see this, I mean, this is the Exiles. Exiles is really good. And then it gives you a mana boost on top of that. Like, it's not horrible. It's really not.
I'm calling this could be something down the road, because it's just a very unique ability to have a throwaway on one card.
Yeah, I don't think it's complete bulk. I think it may be a dollar card, but I wanted it to be more, but it's not. I don't think it would have.
Let's move on.
Herald of Torment. I like this card.
You don't like this card? This is one of the cards I'm actually excited about in this. It's only $1.49. I say buy. Like, yeah, I think Mono Black actually wants to run this card, and I think it's a good, I mean, Night Vale Spectre is good, and obviously, like, you know, there's merit for running that card, but this card trumps Night Vale Spectre pretty hard.
That's it right there.
That's really what it is. It's like everyone's playing Mono Blue and Night Vale Spectre, being able to block it consistently and for profit seems really good to me.
Yep. So you're happy to play this as a 3-drop, and then when you do play it as a 5, as a bestow, it's just like, you kind of,
guys. So yeah, it's a 3-drop, 2-black colorless, bestow 5, flying at the beginning of your upkeep, you lose life. Enchanted creature gets +3/+3 and flying. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about it. Plucks the crap out of Night Vale Spectre. You get a curved desecration demon into this if you don't have a gray merchant. This could be a strong buy.
Yeah, I'm really good on this. Like, I didn't think this card was going to be $1.50. I didn't even look at the pre-sale price yet, but that's insane. Like, you're going to be able to get $4, $3 playsets on eBay. I think if this is still even under $2 on Friday when you're listening to this, buy them.
Yeah,
like,
I
this
would
card
agree.
Seems really good to me.
You were excited about Night Howler.
I'm kind of excited about that. I'm with
Night Howler. Doesn't Night require Howler. You to do anything else to make it good, though. This card is just good. It's a 3/3 flyer for 3.
Yeah, like how ubiquitous Night Vale Spectre is. Like, this shuts it down.
Shuts it down. Say goodnight. You're gonna go home. You ain't night nothing.
15.
So does mugging.
Shut up, Jason. Shut up, Jason. Get out of here.
Doesn't mugging only deal 2 damage?
Is Night Vale Spectre 2/3?
Yes.
Why is it a 2/3? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh my god.
That's the whole relevant part. If it was a 2/2, that card wouldn't be nearly as good.
So can we call this set Born of the 3-drops?
Like, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you get into it, and I didn't think there was going to be as many cards because I figured the cards that would be good would be overpriced, but like, this seems There's like an obvious card. Sleeper. Yeah, like I don't understand how, why is this so cheap still?
Because people are sitting on the entire set and so...
So no one's looking through it? Like have people just not looked at the spoiler since they
I guess so. I guess so.
I think people just look at this card on its own and say, it's kind of mediocre, whatever, like, but like they, you have to take into context what it does in Ivel Spectre and that the two black is good in mono black, like, I mean, you get some advantage.
Mono black's getting such good cards that filling that role actually probably isn't that bad.
I think we should rename the set to Born of the Rares because the mythics suck, but there's actually like a ton of good rares in the set. If you start scrolling down.
Manticore is awesome.
Like, whatever. Like, the card will be worth money because it's a five color bullshit card, but regardless. I mean,
does anybody else think like, you remember when you were like 11 years old and your friends would design magic cards and they all ended up looking like Chromanticore?
Yeah.
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 Alright.
Because you wanted to have every ability. I love that card.
It's every color with every ability. It's super sweet. It's got going on my deck.
Thank you.
Jason,
anyway.
You're just being a dick to be a dick today.
I like
this. Today? You act like this is something that doesn't happen every day.
No, it does, but like he's like trying extra hard on it. Like he just turned a dick meter up to 10.
No, it's because I'm drinking. Let's move on to Hero of Iroist.
Okay, this card, I think $2 is right where it's probably going to stay. This, if the Bant thing continues.
Do?
Oh, sorry. One and a white, 2/2, aura spells you caught. Are you cast?
Everybody is
going to
know.
Cast.
No,
heroic,
won't.
Whenever you cast a spell that targets it, put a +1/+1 counter on it. I think this card is definitely going to see modern play at the very least.
Definitely?
I mean.
In that stupid Boggle deck?
Well, it like core Spirit Dancer or whatever, that fucking deck.
Well, yeah, that's a Boggle deck, right? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, all right, I don't know about that. I think it'll definitely get tested. I think people will definitely try to jam it.
Yeah, if there's a heroic deck in Standard, this will be part of it. Yeah, that's about as good as it
would be. Remember when we talked about Eidolon of Countless Battles? Like, this is one of those cards that would probably be pretty solid in that deck because it makes all your bestow cost one less. Like, just keep it in mind. I don't think it's going to do anything right now. I don't think it's going to take the place of anything in Modern, but it is something to keep in mind.
I think it's just going to stay a $2 card. Like, it has potential to spike, but I don't know that it goes any lower. It's such an interesting card and has two good effects, which I think will keep people testing with it throughout its life.
Okay, here's what I can agree with you guys on. Trade for it at $2, buy it at $1?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I'm in on that. Like, yeah, I don't like buying them at $2. That's what I'm saying. I think it's going to hold at like $2, if not go up. I just don't see it going down below $2. Like, I think you're safe to trade for these at $2 all day.
Okay. All right. So, Hero of Wina Tower is a bulk rare.
I don't think it's bulk.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't think it was bulk when I first read it, but I just can't think of a situation where you want to target it.
I think there will be reasons to target it. I think that maybe it may not be this set. It may be the next set, but there's going to be a heroic deck. That's what's gonna happen, and this is, I mean, if you think about it, this is-
There are
is
too
a,
many hexproof creatures.
Alright,
like,
go, Marcel,
if you're playing auras, you're gonna play them on hexproof dudes. You're not gonna play them on dudes that die to removal.
It's a one drop.
It's a one drop, and if you get just a little bit of value out of it, it becomes a 2/2. Like, I'm sure there's easy ways to pump it up. There's gonna be ways that you can get this going.
There's nothing cheap you wanna put on it, and if you're putting if you're putting 3 mana auras on it, you'll have no extra mana to activate it.
I mean, it is a mana sink late.
It's heroic ability is, you don't do anything for free with its heroic ability. You have to pay mana to target it and you have to pay mana to activate it.
But
you
just scale
dildos.
It. It's not dildos. I don't think it's dildos. I think this is not bulk. I think it's not gonna, I think it may hit bulk in before we see the next set, but I think this card has potential. I definitely think this card down the line, it has definite
I'm giving
potential.
It D for dildos. I know we're not doing the letter grade, but there you have it.
Alright, next card, Hero's Podium. 5-drop legendary artifact. Each legendary creature you control gets +1/+1 for each other legendary creature you control. X mana tap. Look at the top X cards of your library. Reveal a legendary creature and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom.
If Captain Sisse was Captain a man, she would have a bomber. That's all this card is. Like, it's definitely has casual appeal. I think $1.50 is perfect for it.
Okay.
I don't think it's quite bulk just because it is so good in Commander. But
it's not good in Commander. How many legendary creatures do you play in most decks?
It's 5 or 6. Like, especially
you're
talking
about... if you pay 13 mana, you can hit one of them. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
And you put it in your hand, you don't put it into play. You've got Dragon Arch and Planar Portal and shit, and you're gonna like pay 11 mana to put maybe put a legendary creature in your hand? No. You wouldn't be putting stuff into play. This doesn't do anything unfair when it hits, which is rarely. Like, yeah. This is bad in EDH.
I think I kind of agree.
Well, that means $1.50 is about right for it, though.
That's just a bulk rare, man.
Mm. Alright, whatever. Next card.
Hunter's Prowess. This is
a cycle, too.
Three and a green for sorcery until end of turn. Four and a green until end of turn. Target creature gets +3/+3 and trample. And whenever this creature deals damage to a player, draw that many cards. I think this
historically, cards like this have to be instants to be playable.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a bulk. Mind Reaver. I'm calling it bulk.
Bulk.
All right, good.
No, like, Grimoire Thief was bulk, and Grimoire Thief was better than this.
Grimoire Thief was not really bulk. It was played in Merfolk a little bit in Standard.
I played that deck, and it was still like...
This is not a Merfolk, and it is bulk.
All right, next one. So let's take the opportunity. It's the first one we've got to. Nessian Wilds Ravager. It's a 6 drop. That's huge. You can make it fight another guy if they don't pay the tribute. But let's talk about tribute. What do you guys think of it as a mechanic?
It's terrible.
When it comes in, your opponent gets to choose something. So in this case, they can either give it 6 counters, or if they don't pay the tribute, you can have it fight a creature when it comes into play. So Jason, you do not like tribute.
It is browbeat, and browbeat is bad. And if you like browbeat, you're bad.
If you played with Fanatic of Zaganos, that card is insane.
There is no good
side to it. So,
How about this?
Because it doesn't cost 6 mana. By the time that you're playing 6 drops, they're not going to give any shits.
Oh, I'm not talking about this card.
You were just talking about the mechanic as a whole.
I would think that Fanatic of Xenagos is the exception to the rule, and I still think Loxodon Smiter is better in roughly 75% of scenarios.
No, I don't think so. Because of the trample.
To talk about the actual, the mechanic, though, I think it's a really cool mechanic because it increases interaction quite a bit. It gives your opponent, it's really good from an interactive standpoint for your game, which I think is a good thing. You know, I think that it's going to make people think. There's a lot of scenarios where you're happy either way. Yes, I get the browbeat was bad argument, blah, blah, blah.
My argument. If you're happy either way, you're already winning.
Vexing Devil was also bad for this, but it's still played, pretty, as a 4 of in Legacy and Modern. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's a cool mechanic. I like the interaction it creates. Yes, the browbeat effect is bad, in most cases because you don't want to let your opponent choose. I think they went out of their way this set to make sure that you're getting upside either way and that the upside is actually good.
Yeah, so, but the upside on this card is that it's just going to be bulk and it's in the pre-release set. So yes. Let's move on to the next one.
Yep.
So we got, Oracle of the Bones, and I thought I liked this card, but the more I thought about it, I don't see this card having a good situation. It's cool, but yeah, I just don't think there's the sorcery that's going to make this above bulk. So it's another bulk one.
There's no spell that you're going to sandbag. And if you are sandbagging a spell, he's going to be a 5/3 for 4, which is pretty good, I guess, but.
Modern Cruel Ultimatum. It's terrible.
No one's going to ever let you get that. They'll just let you get the 5/3
and Lightning Bolt. I know.
Memo bolted in Modern. So do we want to talk about Painseer? Is this a Bob? No, it's not.
You mean Dark Confidant?
$12?
Twelve actual dollars. This went from 4 to 8 to 12 on Star City. They're like, all right, we sold out at 8. Fuck it, ratchet that price up.
Well, I would say sell these cards.
Did people read this card? God, did people pay 12 for Blood Scrivener at pre-release? I don't remember. Did they?
They have to put their money somewhere in the set, I guess. But no, this is not the card to put your money in. I would get
it. Oh, you just attack them, and then you can untap him.
I mean, this one is the ones that are converted mana. Blood Scrivener is just better than this card, right?
Blood Scrivener draws you 3 cards, though.
Well, I mean, no, but Blood Scrivener in the deck that you theoretically want to play this in, which is a low converted mana cost where you're dumping your hand, isn't Blood Scrivener better because it doesn't have to fucking attack as a 2/2 bear? I would rather play Grizzly Bear than this because it has less texture.
Low mana cost decks don't want Springleaf Drum, and Springleaf Drum is the best card to play with this.
Yeah.
Okay, so the only argument I've heard for this card is that you play it in this deck and you attack with it, and if they block it, then something else got through. But if they don't do it, then you get a draw. Sweet. So basically, it just kind of like draws the removal out so your other bigger stuff gets through. That's the argument I've heard for it. It's not a $12 argument though, I know that.
No, no, so by the best spell scenario
that
you're talking
3 damage to all creatures and another 3 mana spell that gave all creatures -2/-2 and a 4 mana spell that killed all creatures, etc., that would be a good argument. But they're not going to commit a removal spell to this if they can just
yeah. All right, Mark, so all right. What did you think?
So what's the price is going to settle at? I say ball
$4.
I don't even think it's going to be worth that.
$3, I don't know.
Would this really go to bulk? That would be, no, you know what? Yeah, it totally could happen. Remember where people were paying, $30 at pre-release for, Scott
time reversal?
Time reversal, Scott
it's
Brunator
happened, like, everyone forgets
card.
It. Yeah, everyone
this
forgets
could go
about
from 12
that.
To bulk, no problem.
Yeah, it's a dollar, I can see a dollar, $2 card.
I still think it'd be worth a couple of bucks. People are gonna try.
Yeah, cause you're gonna have, they'll have price memory, it's not gonna go straight bulk.
Good, let them try.
I don't think it's gonna go straight bulk, but I think you're never gonna see a time when this card's higher than this. Get rid of it and not take a loss. And if you hold on to them for too long, they're gonna be bulk. Like,
let's ship.
Let's move on to the next one, which is prices bulk, but that I actually like in foil.
It's sold out at bulk, so.
Yeah. Okay. So Perplexing Chimera, 4 colors and a blue, 3/3. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may change control of Perplexing Chimera and that spell. If you do choose new copies, I really like foil copies. Like, this is a pretty sweet commander card.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Like, a lot of people that have never played Commander, I wrote an article about this on MTG Price where people just kind of say, oh, this is a Commander card, without actually knowing. But Corbin and I apparently are both Commander players. Apparently, that's what we are now.
Yeah, it's weird.
And this is good in Commander, man. I like this.
Okay, there you go.
So this is, it's sold out at 50 cents. It's not a 50 cent card. I like it.
Yep, our next card's bulk.
Bulk.
Plea for guidance.
That's so bad. They printed a whole cycle of unplayable, like, 5-6 mana spells.
Well, yeah, actually, I hear a lot of people talking about this card for Commander, so, like, I don't think it's going to actually ever be bulk. I think it'll be... Nope. Like, there's a ton of Commander
already.
Decks where people want to run
dreams
this.
Dreams do the same thing better for cheaper?
That goes and gets auras, I think. It doesn't get just enchantments.
Yeah, they're just straight enchantments, and it's still a 2-for-1. And yeah. It's going to be a great... it'll be a good foil to get, I'll say.
Like, yeah. I think it's going to be a Commander foil card. I don't think you want, like, picking these up necessarily paying cash for them at a dollar, but I don't think you have a problem, like, acquiring
have,
these in trade.
Have so much so there would be two possibilities. You'll see what you saw with, like, foil Chromatic Lantern, where it was, like, $19 at, like, the first week and then went down. Or it'll be, like, if this is, like, a $2 for foil, yeah, pick them up. For sure.
All right. Seder Fire Dancer.
$3, huh?
Whenever an instant or sorcery you control deals damage to an opponent, Seder Fire Dancer deals that much damage to target creature that player controls. It's a 2-drop 1/1, and I don't think it's good.
He's garbage.
I don't think he's garbage, but
garbage.
I just don't think.
What
deck
do you want him in? Because everyone's exactly. Like, modern burn. I'm like, oh, really? The extra value you get is you burn their creatures? This is no Pyromancer Swath, man. This is something that does something you don't give a shit about doing in a burn deck.
Yeah. You waste a lot of time casting this dude, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't apply no pressure as a 1/1. Yeah. He's very fragile at 2, you know, yeah. I think that people are going to try to play with him and squeeze something out of him just because that he's a build around card. So I think he may stay a dollar. I think he's going to go absolute bulk, but he's definitely going to damn near hit it.
But you don't want to pay $3. All right.
Oh, no, you don't. You want to get out.
Let's talk about the Scourge of Skull of Vale. Which is bulk right now, but hey, it's a Hydra.
This is interesting, but like, Corpse Jack Menace is bulk, and has mostly always been bulk.
It's not a Hydra.
This is, yeah, I don't, man, I like this card, but it's so...
Good point, Corbin. I like that, I like the Hydra aspect.
I mean, it's a Hydra, and also, like, you know there's gonna be those people out there, Timmy or not, who really want to, just... Take this card and steal your opponent's creatures and then sacrifice your opponent's creatures.
What's a commander from that one, the first commander set of commander decks with it makes all Gave, right? Yeah, you play this on a Gave deck.
Yeah, like Gave with, I like it with Corpse Jack Menace too. Like just, it takes a little work, but it gets there, but like it's not going to be a standard thing.
Well, this card has no downside. It's already bulk. I think you picked this card up. That's all we need to know. Like it's,
you can pay dimes on this. If you can pay a dime on this, yeah. Fuck it. Throw 100 of them in a box.
Yeah, pick them up for bulk, definitely. Yeah, I think if you have some good stealing cards, I could see it in standard, I guess. Cause I mean, it's not horrible. If you take one creature. It becomes something
special. Let's ask Darwin Castle if he's brewing with this, and if he isn't, nobody is.
Tommy would.
But it's good, it's good to pick up at bulk.
Silent Sentinel, we got a bulk.
Super bulk.
Oh, it's so nice bad. It does, you can't even put it out with Mayall of the Anima, which is the only deck I would need to do. It's also the crew card, right?
Yeah, it's also pretty this card.
It's got a land, guys. It's a land with wings.
Is Spirit of Labyrinth? Holy goodness, it's $8. Alright,
that's right.
Oh, this card does by now. It's one in a white. Hold on, let's read the card so people know if they're been
living
in the
cage. They know what it is, for fuck's sake.
No, Jason, shut up, Jason. Just quit being a dick, guys.
Put your beer down. It's one in a white. It's a 3/1. Each player can't draw more than one card each turn. And then some flavor text.
Hey guys, you know that card you've been talking about for 3 weeks? We're gonna read it to you.
It's an enchantment creature spirit, and at $8, I think this is the right price for it.
I don't know, because this is not a what is Spirit of the Labyrinth worth argument. This is a what is a redemption set of Born of the Gods worth argument. I think Spirit of the Labyrinth probably maintains $8 plus or minus two.
I think it very much depends on how the other cards in the set do. Like, we've talked about a lot of rares right here that potentially could be $2, $3, $5. Like, this card, if it is as good as, you know, people think it is, then it's gonna be $8, but it could potentially go up if the rest of those cards don't show anything. Like,
is this a 2X or a 4X foil?
4.
I think it's a 4X foil.
Yeah, it probably.
It's definitely a legacy card. This is the only legacy card in the set, or the main legacy card in the set.
People are saying modern hate bears, and they use words that aren't a thing. There's no such thing as modern hate bears.
Death and taxes.
Puts a card on the bottom of their library.
Yeah, this pantses them when you play V-Click, yeah.
Oh, play and then of course the obvious Aether Vial into their brainstorm, right, and they get to eat a whole lot of dicks.
Plus, if you play this in Commander, when you play Ablation, you can remove their general and they don't get to draw cards.
Yeah, like I definitely don't. I've been playing more Legacy, and I definitely don't want to see this card across the board if I got my Shardless Bug deck.
Dude, I'm splashing white for this Merfolk Legacy. Boom, cut Sivir, go Adept.
Really, that's the card that gets you there.
Well, that and Sig.
Obviously.
Legacy.
All right, Temples probably going down from the current $5. Although these are better ones, and if the set is opened less, like it probably will be, I don't think there's an upside from 5. I think regardless, like they're gonna top out.
You don't want to
like
buy
some of them may. Yeah, some of those may hit 6, but like there's just no upside.
I actually think that like the blue white one, the green white one will hold 4 or 5. Like I don't think they'll go down.
Sure.
So like if I have personally Spirit of the Labyrinth at $8, like if people want to trade me 2 temples for it, I'd do that. If I have freaking Painseer, I would love to get 3 temples for it.
Oh yeah.
These are pretty stable, I think. Maybe not the black red one if black red isn't taking off, but like we're pretty confident in green white, and blue white is already obviously super popular, so.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds right.
Hey, guys, be honest. I'm betting none of the three of you, nor me, have read the full text on Tromocratus.
I'm gonna do it now. I have, actually.
Before.
If you're part of the SVU, you're gonna read every Kraken card.
That's right.
Yeah, no, this card's terrible and it's bulk, so can we not read it?
No, we're not gonna read it though.
Okay.
Oh, it's really good with the next card, which is Whelming Wave, because you could keep your Kraken in play.
I love this card.
Further proof that Zendikar and this set are tied together.
Oh, shut the F.
Quest for Ula's Temple says the exact same creature types. Just saying, if I'm right on this, I win the internet.
So Ryan, will you please explain to everyone at home what your silly little argument is?
Oh my god.
Don't say silly little argument. You actually can't belittle him anymore because he was right about Xenagos. We could say silly little argument before they said Xenagos became a god, which is what he said would happen.
Alright. So, no, Jason, you have already tried to belittle me at the dinner for this, along with some other, podcasters. So, I believe that they are gonna take the Eldrazi versus the gods, or whatever, essentially Titans versus gods. And I think we're gonna see Eldrazi in either the next set or the next block, but it's gonna be tied into this somehow. I think Elsbeth is going to gather the gods to go fight against the Titans, essentially.
Wow, we're gonna get a 7th different Elsbeth card?
No. Elsbeth is here searching for people to help her take down the Eldrazi or whatever.
You're probably right.
That'd be great. I would actually really enjoy that.
whatever.
Well, like, that's the thing, is like, nobody's gonna complain if we go back to Zendikar, cause who the fuck didn't like Zendikar? And on top of that, you're just going to, like, be able to print Eldrazi again, which people love.
Guys, I just like Whelming Wave. They love to hate it. I just think Whelming Wave is really cool.
It's underwhelming wave. Bulk
I don't think it's bulk rare. I think it might be more just because, no, it's bulk. It's bulk.
I think it's sufficiently, bad. I'm sufficiently whelmed by this card.
Alright. Yeah, so Whims of the Fates, this is another bulk, right?
Bulk.
So, you know what's interesting though? There was quite a few cards in here that we were arguing about that weren't all the way just straight up bulk cards. I think, and actually more than other sets. So I think we kinda, undervalued.
It's because we're scraping the bottom of the barrel to have something to talk about.
It's born of the rares. I think there's a number, I would say half of the rares at least are worth consideration. I mean, obviously.
What's the blue card in this cycle?
In what cycle?
This cycle, you got the 6 mana unplayable stupid sorceries. You've got Whims of the Fates, you've got the white one that goes and gets 2 things, you got the green one that gives a creature 3/3 and trample and draw a card and...
It's a 5 drop. This isn't a cycle, shut up.
It's a cycle! It's a guild, the black one?
It's a 5 drop.
It's like, it just seems cyclical to me. Like, every color got one stupid, too expensive, unplayable card.
Sure, but I mean, if you look at the set overall for the rares, like, half of the rares here, I'm not mad to open. So, like, that makes me feel a little better about these 2 cases I've got coming next week, so.
Oh, 2 cases. Oh, I'm getting 1 case and I want a box.
So besides the temples.
I think you're gonna be wrong. I think this set's gonna be just fine.
Let's go.
I think being a small set, like, I don't know. We'll see.
So my cards, besides the temples, is the Spirit of Labyrinth and then the Herald of Torment, the black 3 drop. I think those are my 2 favorite going on.
Yeah.
What about you guys? What are your guys' thoughts?
Herald of the Torment, 100%.
Yeah, is that the black thing here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That guy's definitely, like, I think all of our top call there. Like, they just, how is that card $1.50? I mean, is the question. And I think probably my other one has to be, where'd it go? The green Faded Intervention. I think that card has a lot of potential. And it certainly has.
Like, I like the,
even
I
with
like
Ed,
the white one.
Seeing like no play, that's like a $3, $4 card just because it's out of Dragon's Maze. So I mean, this could be the same thing.
And I think the Corsair, the Crucifix, the bad, I think that card actually has a chance also because there's not much of a competition. So that's probably number 3 for me at the set.
I think it could go down, but I think it might go up come redemption time.
Yeah, it'll go down eventually before it goes up, but I think that card is my 3rd favorite of the rares. Not bad.
So let's hit these mythics.
Let's go. Brimaz, the king of the set.
All right. Brimaz, 3/4 for 3, 2 white for your mono white devotion deck. It's got vigilance. It's a cat. Plays well with Kimba.
Whatever attacks,
put a 1.
I know that
this.
You feel
Are you
compelled
reading this
to read
off
this
like
card.
It's a wrestler?
I bet my wife knows what this card does. You probably don't need to read it to our listeners.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put this card.
It's sold out at $30. No.
Put a 1/1 white cat creature attacking with vigilance. Whenever it blocks, put a 1/1 white cat.
Shut up, Corbin.
Vigilance blocking.
Okay, so the one trick you can do with this is one that puts the token in, you can reorder blockers.
Oh yeah.
So you order blockers. Say they swing in with a 4/4, right? And, you put Brimaz in front of it. They say, you say, I'm ordering blockers, I put Brimaz first. Then you put the token in, you can put the token in the blocking order wherever you want. So Brimaz blocking will kill a 4/4 and not die.
Ah.
It's really?
Wait, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
That is how that works. Yes.
Oh, he's really good
that makes
now.
That makes him even better than I thought he was, yeah. Like, I wasn't as huge on him as a lot of people, but that definitely makes him more relevant.
That blocks 4/4. Beating 4/4s in combat means a lot.
A lot.
That other
Smiter.
So it's $30 card now. So we were talking about on After Hours that, $80 was a skeptical that you think it's going to go up to what you get out at 40 when this card gets there and then it's going to drop back down to 20.
Yeah, if it's at 40, I want out.
People were telling me you're buying in at 30 though, right? Like,
I don't know, man.
There?
We had the opportunity to buy it at 20 and people were saying, hey, Jason, $82 place out on eBay. And I'm like, you know what? Voice of Resurgence effect. I'm coining that phrase now. Do it. Buy these for an $80 playset. I think if it hits 40, you double up, you dump. And then you can rebuy them cheaper later.
I definitely have to agree with you there.
So what do you think it's going to drop back down to, 25?
It's going to take a pretty long time. It'll follow Voice of Resurgence's price trajectory, if we're right about that being a thing.
So if you want to play with these, So if you want to play with these, buying them at 30 is not a bad price.
But this isn't a multi-format all-star like Voice of Resurgence is. So
I'm pretty sure.
I think it's going to be a modern staple, actually. I think this card is definitely...
It's real good. God, this guy's, he has a commander potential. Like, this
I guess I shouldn't say modern staple, like that infers that he's going to be like in every deck, but I think he's certainly
a modern staple. Like, there's so many different decks in modern. Like,
I think this is a card you will not be surprised to see on the table across from you.
I'm going to vapor snag it. Okay, so.
Yeah, dice removal, it's bad.
So next one is Champion of the Stray Souls. We got enough of Brimaz. We already know he's awesome.
All right, I'm throwing in $20 is my guess on it.
Okay.
$20 when? Like, it'll be 20, 30, and 40, and 20 again, and maybe 40 again.
I think in 2 to 3 months, which is usually what I base myself off of, as we're doing this for the next set, I think it'll be a $20 card.
That's fair. So in 3 months. Okay.
Yeah, Champion of the Stray Souls. Champion of the Bulk, right?
Bulk.
Yeah. There'll be a Bulk Mythic, but like, it does cool things in EDH.
Bulk.
It costs 7 mana. Not to do that, like you know, in bulk.
Oh yeah, 7 mana never happens in EDH. Good call.
I mean, but like, what do you really want that back? Yeah. And then they just kill it again on that full rotation of turns. Like the card's bad. All right, what about Chromanticore?
This is the worst. This is my least favorite Magic card.
I'm glad they made this. This is what Mythics were supposed to be.
I think this card will be worth more than $3 someday.
Ironic.
With Ryan.
People find this ironically. This card fucking sucks. I wish they had not printed this.
Why?
Really? I like this card a ton. This does everything I wanted a card to do when I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was like, designed by
seriously. This
they
card
did a
is
great
perfect.
Designer search on Bring Your Child to Work Day, and this so is the card they came up with.
So here's what I'm saying. Alright, here's what I'm hearing. For the first time in the history of Mythics, we are getting a set that has one, maybe two really good mythics, and everything else is mostly crap, and all of the rares are the good things, and as Magic players, we're still finding a reason to bitch.
I'm like, not bitching about that. I think that's 100% awesome. Like,
I think this is great. I think this card has potential to be worth something just because it does amazing things. Like, it is really cool.
You want every Chromanticore.
Guys,
fill the binder with them and then throw them in a fire.
I like what this does for mythics in general. This is how the Wizards are supposed to be printing mythics. They're not supposed to be printing staples of the format in mythic that you have to chase after. They should be putting these cards that casual players will get and are enchanted by. Like, if you imagine someone new to Magic picking this up, they're going to try to build a 5-color deck and fail miserably, but have
if
the best time
11.
Of their life. Yes, but you know what, Jason? Yeah. That's who they need to reach out to.
Yeah, like, I think Brimaz is acceptable because he's a legendary creature at the rarity he's at. And I think there are a ton of really good competitive rares. Or, you know, maybe not all for standard, but, you know, like, there's at least attempts at good competitive rares. And we're not seeing a ton of the competitive mythics. Like, we have the one or two, like I said. And then you're just getting a bunch of cards that are really good casual. Like, look at the gods. Like, there's maybe a couple of them that have a chance of seeing play, but none of them are like, oh man, I have to run this. And even the Planeswalker. Like, I think the Planeswalker has more legacy play. And I mean, not to just skip through Mythics, but I think this is good for Magic overall. I think this set's gonna be great for the game.
I just wanna point out, when I was 11, all I wanted was for my Geodude to flip a bunch of heads in a row because I was still playing Pokemon.
Cause you were doing it wrong. It's fine.
And Jason, for the health of the game, you want to appeal to casual players. All cards aren't supposed to be for you, you know. They got to be for other people that they enjoy and brings them.
Every card I've liked is for casual players. Like, this isn't for casual players. This is for people with head trauma.
Wow. Jeez. Oh, isn't it?
This art should be in crayon. Like, this is an unglued card. This is a fucking unglued card.
What is wrong?
Jason, this card is awesome. You're not allowed to drink on the podcast anymore.
Jason, unfiltered.
You are a small child, Donnie.
You hate everything.
If I were a small child, I'd like this card.
I like this card more than now that Jason hates it.
Oh my god.
They don't respect our intelligence by printing this card. It's an insult. It's an actual insult.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's our last chance of ever us getting a spoiler for Brainstorm Brew.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they gave us this?
Oh.
This has been our spoiler, and you three would add it.
That's what they're gonna do.
Just grit your teeth and be like, oh, we got a spoiler. Oh, it's Chromanticore. Let's read it to our listeners. And I would have been like, pfft.
See, no, but see, like, KYT got a spoiler. He's been doing this for a while, and their spoiler was, like, an uncommon. And, like, you know, I'm sure we're probably going to get a common or something of a much lower tier. Chromatic Core is going to be like, you know, that's icing on the cake. We got to be really good to get that card right there.
Yeah, like, honestly, I don't think you understand how much, like, casual appeal this card has. Everything that you hate about Magic is the same reason you hate this card. And that's
not
fine.
True, because I love the people that are like, oh my god, you have Colossus of... What's that stupid Colossus?
Colossus Whale.
Akros?
Yes.
Akros. I love Colossus
of Akros. I've traded with people that are like, oh my god, you got Colossus of Akros. I opened a whole box and didn't get a single Colossus of Akros. It was bull.
You're like, how lucky.
And then you're their hero. Like, I love those people. But they're not gonna like Chromanticore.
No, you don't love those people. You don't love those people for the same reason you don't love when I sit here and talk about Forthos stuff. You love that you can make money, but you don't love those people. Like, I respect
those
that
people
crime
are the least
because
cynical. Like, they're the best to trade with. Like, I love helping those people. I love those people. They are the best. Don't ever suggest that I only like those people to exploit them. That is the opposite. I will sit with those people for hours and help them build their stupid dirtle decks into slightly less mediocre dirtle decks.
Unless they want Chromanticore in it.
Yeah, and listen, like,
then you know what?
I see you lighting a kid on fire for this weekend when he mentions this card.
I bet my foil rare in my box. The box I open, I bet the foil mythic in there is Chromanticore.
No, here's what it is. Jason, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to go to your pre-release this coming weekend. You're going to get beat by a 9-year-old child playing this card. Bestowed on some other card
that
you hate
from the
set.
He's gonna hit on turn five.
Mana fixing, and he's just gonna windmill slam five basic lanes in a row and play Chromanticore.
You know how I know? If that happened to me, I got fucking blown out by Fusion Elemental, turn five, no mana fixing, by a 9-year-old kid. Literal or true story. It's already happened.
We know Chromanticore is harder to deal with than Fusion Elemental. You deserved it.
It's this card because you lost a Fusion Elemental.
Yeah, did you read all the things this card does? Like I said, when I was like,
no,
I know that we've
time.
Talked about this for
the
way
text
too long.
Is too small.
Jason, do you like flying and first strike and vigilance and trample? And do you like lifelink? I know you like those things.
Brainstorm Brewery, the cast that spent literally 90 seconds on Spirit of the Labyrinth and 10 fucking minutes on Chromanticore.
Hold up.
You're just going to set.
We have another contest. Whoever can make a card with Jason and Chromanticore somehow. The worse, the better. But you're gonna
shot me on there and riding the Chromanticore.
However your imagination can take it, I don't know. I don't know how bad it is.
Oh, don't give our listeners that vendetta. He'll end up with 1,000 Russian followers again.
But come with the interesting design with Jason and that. We'll give you some tokens for sure.
Hey, I'm Bromanticore.
And the all best right. one will win a prize.
So what do we have? Let's move on.
Aferia.
So Aferia, god of the Polish.
I like this card.
The Polish, huh?
The police.
Police?
I liked Polish.
I do too.
You have to be Polish to want to play this card, am I right?
No.
That was pretty good.
Hey, this card is not bad, guys.
What didn't Chaz Andrews say this card has got to be better than everybody thinks it is?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I feel about it, but I don't know how true it is yet. Like, I want to like this card.
It's
really
got to have a deck. It's insanely powerful, but if it doesn't have a deck, it's not good. It can be very powerful and not good if there's no deck.
And that's the problem is, like, you have this real big push for mono white, but is, like, the way I look at it is, like, the argument for going green white is now kind of mute because a lot of your three drops that you want can't really fit in the deck along with, you know, bromides and stuff like that. So perhaps you start looking at something like blue-white because maybe you get better two drops than four drops.
You get Lyav's Sky Knight, you get, like, Precinct Captain. Hey,
yeah.
Brimaz allows Ephara to draw you cards on their upkeep.
Yeah, and if he has a deck.
Yeah, you want to be playing creatures on their turn so you get a trigger every turn.
Yep. Yeah.
And if Heliod's a deck, if Heliod's going to see play, this card will be part of it. You know, you can
this
have
card
a nice...
Heliod, sweet.
Yeah, if you use the creatures as just purely, you know, top of the curve creatures along with Detention Sphere and just really like max out on your pips, like this card is a pretty good beatdown.
I'm telling you, Brimaz and Lyav Sky Knight on threes, Precinct Captain on two along with whatever
crap.
Okay, okay.
A lot of stuff.
Does that make you want to pay $10 for that pie in the sky deck?
No. I don't think any of these gods, like, I'm just saying, we need to talk about the gods for the long-term value, because this could get to be a $6 to $8 card. I don't think you're anywhere near wanting to buy in at $10, but there are some of the gods that I don't think can hold $3 or $4, even though they're gods. I think that's the big difference, is like, we see Helia, which was considered, you know, for a while, the worst of the last god cycle. And, you know, it never really got below that $3-$4 mark. And we have to realize that some of these may just because they're even less playable than the monocolor ones.
Yeah.
But
long term, these are basically Eldrazi, right? Just on a lesser
scale. Yeah, on a lesser scale for sure. I mean, but yes, I think they definitely can be compared to Eldrazi.
Especially when they're going to turn into Eldrazi, right, Ryan?
No, the gods aren't turning into Eldrazi. Get over yourself.
They're going to fight the Eldrazi. Hey, you know what? I saw a Clash of the Titans. That'd be kind of fun.
That's what
you
I
know
mean,
what'll
like,
help
think...
the gods beat the Eldrazi? If you imbue one of them with the spirit of the Chromanticore.
It will.
That'll make Karametra an 11-12, and that'll help it fight Ulamog.
Alright, if Wizards of the Coast ever, anyone from that company ever listens to this podcast, please integrate Chromanticore into every set or
God
something.
I don't it's a mythic in every sealed pool I open. Every sealed pool, the rare spot will be occupied by Chromanticore.
Alright, let's move on to this next weird card. We have our Phoenix of the set. Four mana, two colors, two red, flying, tribute two, 3/3, so it's a 5/5 if they do not pay the tribute, if they do not pay the tribute, it enters the battlefield and gains haste, and when this creature dies, return it to its owner's hand. So you either get a 5/5 without haste, or you get a 3/3 with haste that when it dies, return it to its hand for 4 mana. What do you guys think?
I think in a world where the only way to deal with creatures is to play shit. What's that card? Anything that deals 4 damage at sorcery speed.
Mizzium Mortars.
Yeah, like even Warleader's Helix deals with this. Yeah. I was saying this stuff for Warleader's Helix in one of my articles, and someone's like, "No, you just wait till the Undying trigger is on the stack, and then you Helix it then." So I'm like, "Oh, well, okay." So I don't even like it in that instance. Like,
wait, what?
What do you mean?
You can't stop that.
You can't.
Sure about that?
But the tribute, it comes into play with
it
the counters.
As it enters, yeah.
Yeah, there is no stack. I just isn't a limited resource. I had Judge Joe Bono on that. There is no chance to respond to the tribute.
Yeah.
It comes into play with
that. It's as it enters, just like many images.
I actually don't hate the card as much then. I feel like it's competing against Desecration Demon, which just stuffs it.
Yeah,
so I think that's why I don't like the card.
It's the best of the tribute cards, probably, but like the best of the tribute cards still doesn't seem particularly good.
No. Fanatic is definitely the best of the tribute.
Yeah, this is the second. Yeah, Fanatic's the best. This is the second.
Has to die anyways. So,
but in a world of Desecration Demons, I don't think it's a $10 card. I think it has a chance post Desecration Demons and probably post. I mean, we also have the dragon. Yes. The dragon is just so awesome at 5. So I don't.
Yeah,
I mean, this does block the dragon, so that's...
It's competing against Mogus and Axava at the 4-drop spot in that, like, red aggressive deck. So, there's that, too.
I like Chandra's Phoenix better in the decks that would run this. Because Chandra's Phoenix at least does what you want it to do, and it's always going to come back.
My Hunger Games reference went way over you guys' heads.
Yes.
Let's move on to Karametra, God of Harvest.
Do you have any Aragorn references or, you know, Judy Blume or any other books written for preteens?
How quick can you get away from this card? Like, you should just run, run for the hills. Like,
it's indestructible. So sure, you have to push the second, blah, blah, blah. Whenever you cast a creature spell, you may search your library for forests or plains and put it on the battlefield tapped.
This is the worst god.
You can get any forests or plains.
This is the worst god of all Theros.
Alright.
It's just a Chromanticore of gods.
You should do the Vorthos. You should sit here and just do an after hours and talk about the Vorthos. And talk about this is the worst god because the hatred in your voice there. It sounds like it wronged you personally.
I feel left out.
I wish him Chromanticores. I wish you this. At least yours is worth something.
I feel left out because there's no card in this set that from the bottom of my soul I just hate. So
I don't hate this card. I recognize his lack of a possibility and a future in any format whatsoever.
I mean, yeah, I don't know that I have a card I hate either. I hate Xenagos' pre-sale price. I just looked at that. Ugh. All right, anyway. So onto the Planeswalker. I mean, I've been saying Legacy Lands. I don't think Legacy Lands makes this a $25 card. I think this is a solid 10 to 15. I don't think it's Relteric, but I don't think it's necessarily great either.
I don't...
15 sounds right. I think this card is more powerful than we think. I was playing with it in beta somewhat, and I think that, like, 2 loyalty is accurate for this, and that a 3 would just be busted.
This came down $5. Let's not ignore that. The $30 price initially was the Jace tax, because nobody wants to charge less than $30 for a Planeswalker, because it could be the Mind Sculptor. But this actually came down. They couldn't sell enough copies at 30, and they have 27 in stock at $25.
Yeah, I think 15 is about right. 12 to 15.
All right, maybe I found one I hate.
It's powerful, but it's narrow.
If this were
mono green or mono blue, I would like it more. But it's narrow, because you got to build blue green.
It should have been my Merfolk God, and it just wasn't.
Mogus is $20?
Mogus is out of stock at $20.
Holy crap.
Mogus is non-sane.
He is. I mean, I don't know.
He's a blood. Remember what we said? He's a blood clock. Would you pay $20 for a blood clock?
So that gives us...
You hated him, though. You said he was...
Yeah, I don't like this card.
No, I'm not big on him. I think he's nice, but...
Sold out at 20 is insane.
I do like that this set, now looking through it for price-wise, looks really good for busting product. Because, like, I want to hold the rares, and I want to push every mythic I open.
Yeah, no kidding. But what about Fennex? Fennex is $10?
It's yeah, that's the thing. High. Like, I don't think there's any underpriced mythics besides maybe Brimaz. And I don't think it's underpriced by that much.
We live in a universe where Fennex pre-sales at $9 less than 1 year after Mind's Funeral hit 8. Is that the rule we live in?
Wait, what?
Fennex is pre-sealing for 10 a year after Mind Funeral hit 8.
Dude, Mind Funeral's the business, and this is just God of the Casuals.
I forgot
Mind Funeral was in all the top decks in Modern, and totally unlike Fennex, was just a casual card.
Yeah, you should have known that.
Yeah, I built a deck with this, and I'm not a fan of it.
Not either. This is for dirtles. You bust this, and you're like, hey, this is $10. I wish it were more. I wish this were 15 or 20, so you could be like, hey, ship, now give me 5 temples.
It's going to get really cheap, though, and then it's going to get expensive 5 years from now. Didn't you want this in mono black?
I was saying
I think it's a good way to, like, win that mirror match. I don't think it's, like, that's the thing, though, is it's going to be a sideboard card in, like, a deck. I don't think this card has any potential tenants, so I'm not saying anything. Like, even if it sees play, it's not going to be this much. I mean, the card definitely has casual appeal and definitely will go back up. It's just definitely not going to be right this moment, especially when people are going to be looking for the hot mythics and just ignoring these.
Okay, so people
are going to be getting rid of these way too consistently.
Let's jump back to us for a second to Mogus. We all agree much. What do you guys think the right price is? Because, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that red-black deck, which gets its scry land and has some powerful cards, I wouldn't be surprised to see this be 10 to 15, at least for a little while after release.
I can see that.
I would be very surprised.
I can see 10, because
The more I see this card, though, the more I don't actually hate it. Like,
I see it as a creature.
Still clock. However, yeah, that's the thing is, like, if this card is turned on when it comes into play on turn 4, which can happen quite consistently in that deck, like, your opponent doesn't win the game, more than likely, because they're probably already at somewhere around 10 life.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 10 to 12. And at that point, you're like, okay, well, I guess I'll just go to 8 here. And even if I can deal with your Mogus, you still have those other two creatures in play that beat me down on turn 2 and turn 3. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know that it's the 4-drop you want, but if that's what they're giving you, then that might be the...
I think you want Exava
exactly.
on that spot.
No, but, like, you think you want what, Jason?
Exava.
You want Exava on that spot.
I mean, maybe, like, this probably represents more damage than Exava over a long game. Exava probably just, like, has a higher chance of just ending the game on turn 4.
I mean, if you play this on turn 4, your opponent's pretty much always going to have to pay the 2 life. I mean, there will be times when they, like, have a token in play or something, but for the most part, like, they're going to be fighting because you're, you know, pretty much mono red, and they're going to be fighting and not have the extra permanence to be sacrificing right away.
Right.
So at that point, it's just blood clock, but blood clock when your opponent's starting at, you know, 8, that also can, at, you know, when it does get or Don can just bash them for 7 is pretty relevant. Like,
and yeah, like, this does give you insurance against.
I don't need
against,
nearly as much as I did.
Yeah, it does give you insurance against Supreme Verdict because yeah. you know if they do wipe the board after you flooded it and you're able to hit, like then you're able to pick them off this card and maybe activate it eventually at some point.
Well, and on top of that, if you drop this versus control, I mean just any control variant on turn 4, if this sticks, even if you don't have a real good board presence at that point, if they can't deal with it, like. 2 damage doesn't seem like much, but it adds up, and like, if they're missing their land drops, I mean, control doesn't want to stop hitting lands till like turn 8 or 9, and you definitely impede with that if they can't afford to pay the life throughout the course of the game. Like, yeah, I think this is a pretty good way to stop that late game.
It makes them have to kill you. We have these control decks right now that run 1 Aetherling or 0 Aetherlings and want to win the game. This guy's going to clock them for a lot of damage by the time they'd actually get around for killing you in those with the current build of blue-white, if it resolves. So, all right, I just wanted to make sure that, like, I don't think 10 to 15 is unreasonable.
Yeah, I guess not. Like, I'm coming around to this card a little more. I don't like this card in a vacuum. However, looking at this card within the format, I think it's fine.
All right, so let's talk about Xenagod.
Xenagod!
I like this card.
This is going to be in decks.
Yes, sure. It is.
Is it going to be $25 worth in decks?
The set's bad.
The set's Where's not the that bad.
No.
Is this a 4-of? That's the real question you have to ask yourself. Is this ever a 4-of?
It's a 2-of.
$50, 2-of.
And I don't see any 2-ofs ever holding 25. 2-ofs are typically $12 cards.
I can see 15, I see 15, maybe 15, 18. I can see a little bit higher.
I think 12 to 15. And I think 12
to
15.
On Mogus.
Yeah, I think this card, Mogus is a 4-of in the deck that you want to run him in between the main deck and sideboard. I don't think Xenagos is ever a 4-of.
I think if I was, it's 10 to 12 on Mogus and this is like 15, 18.
Yeah,
Xenagos,
I mean,
he's just more powerful. Like, he's going to see more play. Whereas Mogus is going to be this just that one deck where if you're playing green-red, you're going to play this with any green-red deck.
You think so? I mean...
If you're playing Dragon, like, you want to play this with Dragon all the time. Are you kidding? That's just awesome.
Stormbreath Dragon?
Yes.
With Palookranos? Like, people are talking about doing cutesy shit with like, oh, what about Colonian Hydra? You don't have to do cutesy shit. You put this with creatures you were gonna run already.
Yeah,
and you stomp them.
Yeah, I was playing Scotty on beta and he had a deck with this with Fnatic Zanganos and it was nuts. It just made you feel very bad. And when this card hit the battlefield, it's just like, you're mashing face. This is Stormbreath Dragon. Yeah, you're representing 8. You know, you don't know. And then you can just pick what you're doing. So you can just spread it around and you can make your creatures just come through. And, you know, Fnatic Zaganos has trample already. So it's just like, it's very hard to deal with. So this card is definitely going to be seeing play. This is the second best card in the set, hands down. So I think it's a 15 a little bit.
I don't hate this set as much now that we've gone through it.
Yeah, it's really odd because I mean,
when you look at the rares, it makes you feel a little bit better.
It's just,
and, I mean, even the mythics, like, there's a ton of mythics that are gonna go down, but the fact that the mythics are so high right now makes it worth buying the set. I think you just sit on a lot of the rares, like a lot of them we talked about. We're just like, this seems underpriced.
So you want to swap out your rares or your mythics for rares,
which is really easy to do the first couple weekends. Like, I think you're gonna find a lot of people that are A-okay with that plan.
Also, someone wants to give me 5 temples for a cure, I'll totally do it.
Consider this too. It's been 2 years since we've had a small set that wasn't Dragon's Maze. Like, and you know, we can play, oh, it's Dragon's Maze, whatever. It's been 2 years since we've had another small set. So like, honestly, there were just fewer cards in the set, so maybe that's why we were less excited. Cause like, I mean,
It's just less home runs. That is just less obvious, and I think you just gotta find the value.
So.
Corbin, you just cut up, so you say that again.
That's good. Don't ask him to repeat himself. We should just be like, oh, okay, good point, Corbin.
Yeah, that's fine.
Go ahead.
You think about it, it's been 2 years. Yup. Let's move on.
We're done. We're gonna do uncommons now?
No, let's get out of here. I gotta go. I got work tomorrow. So thank you everyone for paying through this painful experience. 3 shots of Kraken later and how many bottles of beer Jason had. And Corbin's been drinking, water all day. I mean, Bud Light all day. So he's all right.
He's been drinking the tap water in Oklahoma though. So that's more laced with chemicals than anything we're drinking.
And Ryan, do you drink alcohol anymore or what happened?
Not really. No, I mean, it kind of messes with medication. So no,
But we will be on the booze train, I mean the drunk train at GT Montreal, so Corbin, he's gonna be pretty upset at all the fun times that we're gonna be having.
I have to work.
So if you guys don't know, all the fans, we're gonna be going to GP Montreal, and if you wanna go, we're gonna be at the Embassy Suites there. If you wanna get in on our floor and rent a hotel, you sign in, and the code is Heavy Brainstorm. This is the code, and then you'll be able to be in on our hotel block. We'll be there for GP Montreal, which is what, March 14th through 16th, I believe.
Sounds correct.
And, yeah, so check it out. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be driving the train. I believe it's train number 62 from Montreal to Toronto on Friday. So if you want to jump in and get on the train, let us know. We could try to coordinate it, but it's going to be awesome. It's gonna be GP Vegas 2.0. Just not in the middle of the desert, and there's not gonna be hookers and strippers and...
You don't think there'd be hookers in Montreal? I don't either, because last time we were in Montreal, everything was closed at 9:30 PM.
That's true.
How are you supposed to make money as a hooker if you're closed at 9:30?
Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support. We'll be right back.